Businesses are cautiously optimistic about the U.S.-China trade truce. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams, in for David Brancaccio. American and Chinese officials agreed to hit pause on the trade war over the weekend. The current tariffs will stay in place, but new ones are on hold. And the U.S. will ease some of the restrictions on Chinese telecom giant Huawei. In return, China has reportedly agreed to resume some purchases of American agricultural products. For how that's playing in the markets, we've got Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
So markets are up on this trade news, but it's really just the status quo. So what's going on?
Well, you know, markets get into mood swings, and the swing has been up. So the fact that we have kicked the can reduces the likelihood of the worst case scenarios playing out. And it plays into a sense of optimism that also comes from central banks cutting rates around the world.
So going in a slightly different direction, we've also got some global manufacturing numbers in the last few days. China and Europe had weaker numbers than expected. What's behind that?
Well, the global manufacturing sector is in a recession, and it has been going in that direction all year. So it's been slowing. It's now in contraction territory on average around the world. So it comes from global slowdown that started with China, but it has spread around the world. It is one of the key reasons why central banks are cutting rates. So that's an ongoing question for the global outlook.
And this week is jobs week. We've got numbers coming out on Friday. Anything to keep an eye on as we head into that?
Well, I think, you know, we're looking for a bounce back. The May numbers were surprisingly weak. So the key question is whether we'll see a number that's, you know, above the 150 that we need to kind of keep the economy on track, or whether we are actually seeing businesses get cautious enough to slow their hiring down. So it's a big test for the resilience of the U.S. economy.
And what about wages?
Well, wage growth had been rebounding quite nicely last year. It sort of lost ground in recent months. So again, what we're looking for is whether that uptrend resumes, given how low the unemployment rate is. But in part, that will be determined by how strong is the hiring and how strong is the demand for labor.
Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Shoppers in California have been stocking up on bullets ahead of a new state law set to take effect later today. Proposition 63 requires ammo buyers to show ID and pass a background check. Critics say the new law infringes on constitutional rights. Marketplace's Jack Stewart reports.
Proposition 63 was approved by California voters in 2016. Adam Winkler at UCLA is a legal expert on gun rights.
This is going to make it harder for criminals and people who aren't supposed to have guns to get ammunition, too.
In stores, purchasers will have to show ID, and retailers will check their names against a state database, which can cost a dollar each time. Online ammo orders will be restricted, too. Deliveries will have to go through a licensed dealer in California. Gun rights activists say it goes too far. This is the YouTube channel The Daily Shooter.
This is definitely unconstitutional. It is gun control, so you want to stay on top of it and you want to fight back.
A handful of other states have also restricted ammo sales. Winkler expects some people who want ammunition will look for loopholes.
There will be efforts to buy ammunition illegally, and some people will make their own ammunition.
But, he says, restricting store sales will be effective in limiting the easiest access, which even criminals had, to bullets. I'm Jack Stewart for Marketplace.
Nearly 4 million people will take to the skies this 4th of July holiday. That's up 5% from last year, according to figures from AAA, and is expected to be an all-time high. With all those passengers come a lot of bags and baggage fees. Airlines made more than $1 billion in bag fees in just the first quarter of this year and almost $5 billion last year. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more on who's paying.
As more and more airlines are charging for checked bags, consumers are getting creative to avoid extra fees. There's the wear all your clothes onto the plane strategy, or how Chicago resident Amy Regala packs for winter ski trips because she has to check her skis.
So I had bottles of wine, I had a tortilla press.
Crammed into her complimentary checked ski boot bag.
Complicated. I feel like Mission Impossible here.
Henry Hardeveld, a travel industry analyst with Atmosphere Research Group, says loyalty programs and airline credit cards also help travelers avoid fees. So
the people who end up paying the checked bag fees tend to be infrequent travelers or families.
There is an argument separating out these costs helps consumers. John Heimlich is chief economist with Airlines for America.
It doesn't force them to pay for things they don't value. It helps keep fares low.
And federal statistics adjusted for inflation show airfares are the lowest they've been since the government started keeping records in 1995. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.